Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. What a joy it is to be with you today. I am so in love with Jesus. And today I want to talk on the series, from the series Legends and Misfits. And my sermon title is this, God's Love Language. We're going to look at two sisters, Martha and Mary. You may be very familiar with their story, but I believe there's a couple of things that we are going to discover or rediscover that are is going to help us as we move forward. Well, whilst I'm out walking, one of the things I love to do is to listen to worship music. I just find it inspires me. I just think it lifts me up and it helps me to connect with God. The other day, whilst I was out, I just found myself totally overwhelmed by the love of God. I think it did have to do with the songs that were on. There were a couple of songs that came on back to back that just spoke about the love of God. And I just found myself in that moment thinking, God, you love me so much. It's incredible when we think of his mercies. The Bible says they're new every morning. When we think of his grace, let's be honest, it's exceedingly abundantly above all that we deserve. His favor, when we recognize and realize if God be for us, who can be against us? And all through the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we hear and we see about the love of God. It's no wonder that in John 15, verse 13, we read these incredible words. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for a friend. The Apostle Paul got it right when he said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God shows his love and God proves his love every single day. But I found myself in that moment of just reflecting and saying, God, you love me so much, asking myself this question. Does God know how much we love him? How do we demonstrate that love? How do we reveal the love that we have for God? Do we tell him on a daily basis how much we love him? I think in the natural, there's nothing worse than unrequited love. To meet with a couple, see a couple, observe a couple, and it's all one-sided. To be in a relationship where perhaps you love to tell that individual how much you love them, but they don't tell you, I guess that would be really sad indeed. But the truth is this, God loves us. But does he know that we love him? God continually reveals his love. I think it's limitless. But what am I going to do about it? The Bible says that the greatest commandment is this, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. How do we do that? Because I think that's a very critical question, because the Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians, says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has prepared some things for me. Folks, I want to see it. I want to walk in it. I want everything that God has prepared for me. How do I show God? How do I tell God that I love him? In 1992, Gary Chapman wrote a book, Five Love Languages. He was very clear when he said a loving relationship is dependent on communication. We must be able to communicate the love we have for someone to them. But let's be honest, we all express love in different ways. How I express love may not be the same way you experience love. And that's why sometimes marriages, you can sense the tension. It's almost like it's a train wreck because they haven't worked out yet their love languages. Recently, I had the great opportunity to speak with one of the young couples in our church, premarital counseling, or the words of wisdom. And one of the quizzes that I gave them is, hey, you've got to discover how each responds and what your love language is. If you can figure it out now, it is going to save you a lot of problems as you move forward in your relationship. Why? Because how I express it and how you experience it may be totally different. So Chapman said this in his book, The Five Love Languages: quality time, words of affirmation, affection, acts of service, and gifts. And it's important to learn the love language of your spouse, of your boyfriend, of your girlfriend, because you could be speaking one language, but they could be hearing something totally different. What do I mean by that? Well, if their love language is buying gifts and you're buying them gifts all the time because you're thinking, yes, this will get their attention, good on you. But if their language is quality time and you think that their love language is gifts, you're going to be buying them gifts but wondering why they're not responding. That's because it's not their love language. We must learn to speak the language of the one we love. God is love. And I truly believe that God responds to all five of the love languages. But today, I just want to share for a few moments on this thought of God's love language, quality time or daily devotion. The scripture I want to read is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 38. We read, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" I truly believe that God desires that we have daily devotion or time spent with him every single day. And I'm not just talking about the leftovers of your day. I'm talking about quality time with God. Now, I know that quality time nowadays seems to be an expression that is used by guilty parents when they're with their children, that they cram in that time. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to a daily discipline and devotion that you spend in the presence of God. I believe that's what God desires. That's why way back in the early books of the Old Testament, and in the book of Exodus, we read when God speaks to his people, he says, "I took you out of bondage that you may worship me. I took you out of bondage that you may spend time with me." And I believe that's what God is saying to us today. I took you from that place of sin into a place of relationship with me, that you'd spend time. I set you free from that addiction, that we would spend time together. I healed your body, that we would have that quality time together. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 116, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me?" Now notice something from this story. Martha was distracted by many things. Martha was into hospitality in a big way. She would fit so well up here in the Northeast. And she invites Jesus into the house. Oh, what an excitement. Jesus is in the house. And Martha was busy in herself, getting things ready, lots to do. Jesus is in the house. I could imagine her just walking around, whistling to herself, preparing food. And remember, back then, no microwaves, no quick ways to prepare the meals, making sure that everything's looking right. Oh, how excited she was. Busy, 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 just like many of you today. But in her midst of her busyness, she suddenly notices that her sister Mary is not helping. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha thinks to herself, wait a minute, what is wrong with this picture? I'm getting everything ready, and look at my sister. She's just sitting there. And here is where we have this subtle rebuke that Jesus gives Martha when he says, Martha, Martha, if Jesus says your name twice, he wants to get your attention and your focus. And what Martha was doing, there was nothing wrong. In fact, it would have been the expectation of the day and the cultural expression, because please forgive me, ladies, but back then, it was the woman's job to get the house ready and to prepare the food, especially if you had a guest, and the men would sit with the guests. So Martha was just doing what was expected of her culturally. But it would have been expected of Mary as well. What she was doing was not wrong. She was busy. And don't you find in 2021 that's still just what's happening today? We're all so busy. Spoke to a couple of people this week. How are you doing? The first thing they said to me, Neil, we're busy. Notice my question wasn't, what are you doing? My question was, how are you doing? But nowadays, we seem to equate what we're doing with how we're doing, and the answer and response is always the same. We're busy. We're busy. We're busy doing this, and we're busy doing that. We all have to-do lists and things that are so important. Let's be honest. There are so many things that are vying for our attention. There are so many things that we've got to cram in. So many things to get done throughout the day. I understand that. But Jesus says to Martha, Martha, you're distracted by many things. And could it be that the enemy is using the temptation of busyness? I think for most Christians, it's not the big sin. I don't even think it's the little sin. I think the enemy just gets us busy. He just gets us distracted. And that time that should be set aside, that quality time that should be given to God, that time in our day that should be, because of our relationship and our love that we have for him, to tell him how much we love him, to reveal how much we love him, we miss out. Why? Because we're busy. And maybe the challenge for you today in this series, Legends and Misfits, is this. Are you too busy? Are you distracted by too many things? Not bad things, good things. Hey, it's good to exercise. I love to exercise. It's good to spend time with family and friends. I love to do that. It's good to be industrious. Hey, I believe that if we want to see success, that's what we should do. But my friend, the great question is this, that are you allowing these things to become a distraction, and it's robbing you and it's robbing me of this quality time with God? You see, Mary, she chose the better thing. In fact, Jesus said that, didn't he? Martha, what you're doing is good, but what Mary has chosen is best. Notice something as well, church. When I read this, it wasn't even the Sabbath day. You see, I have no doubt on Sundays, we're in church, or you're tuning in right now online. We sing together with the worship team. We're engaging together. We're spending time with God, and we're spending time with each other. Why? It's Sunday. That's what we do. But this was not even the Sabbath. And Jesus is saying very clearly and teaching us that spending time with him, quality time, is not only what we do on a Sunday, but what we do the rest of the week. And my friends, the big challenge is this. How can you have a Mary heart in a Martha world? A world that's busy, a world that is overscheduled, a world where it seems that everything is time-framed and we've got to be here and we've got to be there. In a Martha world, how do we retain a Mary heart? Come on back to the house, because we see two different responses. Jesus has come to the house. Martha is busy. Mary is at Jesus' feet. And I guess the great question that Jesus is asking us through Martha is this. Do you have things to do that are more important than me? Have you allowed the busyness of your world to define the priorities of your life? Are there things in your world that are more important than Jesus? And my question, what is more important than spending time with him? How do we prove how important God is? Well, how much time do we spend with him? You know, there's a word that we don't use a lot today. It's idolatry. Now, I have no question in my mind that if I was to come to your house, I won't have to look around to see if you have statues, if you've set little idols up that you worship, that you bow down to. I have no doubt that that is not going to happen. But maybe there's things in your world than my world that we literally have allowed to become an idol. I said it earlier, it's good to work, but maybe our job is an idol. I love to exercise, but I've got to be careful that that does not become my idol. Social media, oops. I need to be careful, maybe I shouldn't go there. Perhaps for some of us, social media has become an idol. I was reading an article recently that said millennials check their phone on average between 150 and 200 times a day. What? Perhaps some of us are more connected to our phone than we are to God. You see, people that speak quality time as a love language, it's about alone time with you. I've discovered it's not about where you are. It's not even about what you're doing. It's just that being in the presence of one another and giving each other your undivided attention. It's a called alone time. And maybe we're guilty of multitasking God. We fit God into the busyness of this our schedule. One of the things that I love to do is I love to listen to the Bible on an app also, because perhaps if I'm driving somewhere, I can do that and it refreshes me. And I felt convicted recently of, wait a minute, is this just filling in the time or filling in the gap? Or am I actually spending quality time with God? This morning, as I was just thinking about this preach early in the morning, God woke me up and I just began to sing quietly in my spirit to him and to call out to him. And I just become so aware that even when God wakes you up in the night, maybe it's because you're so busy during the day that he has to get your attention late into the evening. Martha, what's more important? You see, Mary listened as Jesus told her what to do. Let's remember, Mary's also in the house. There would have been the same expectation on her that was on Martha. But her posture is the posture of a disciple. She's at the feet of Jesus, sitting, listening, can't focus, can't be distracted. You see, discipleship demands discrimination. I am so aware that if I want to guard my quality time with God, there are some things that I have to say no to. I decided a long, long time ago that first thing in the morning was my devotion time. That's why I won't pick up my phone to check if there's any WhatsApp messages, and there's always many have come through. I don't check my emails first thing. I don't even look to see what's on the news. I purpose that the first thing I'm going to do, I make a choice of what my priorities are going to be. And because I love him, I want him to know that news and emails and text messages and WhatsApps will not have the priority in my life. God is going to get my first fruits. The more we do for God, we think, the busier we are for God, we think, the more pleased God is going to be. Listen, friends, work can never replace worship. And duty can never replace devotion. Quality time is what God desires. Whether you're a new Christian or have been a Christian for many, many years, I still believe that that's one of the love languages of God. What's more important than that? You know, the psalmist declared, early in the morning, I will seek you. Folks, how easy it is that the first thing when we wake up in the morning, the fact that we still have breath in our body, we should be saying, thank you, Jesus. When our feet hit the ground, thank you, God, for health and strength this day. When we jump into the shower, God, that you have provided for me water. Many people do not have flowing water. Friends, when you sit down to breakfast, that simple meal that you have, that God has provided, give me this day my daily bread, there should be an expression of gratitude. In fact, the old saints called it an attitude of gratitude. And out of the abundance of the overwhelming love that we have for God, early in the morning, we should be having that quality time with Him. You see, Mary listens as Jesus tells her what to do. But notice something about Martha. Martha tells Jesus what to do for her. Notice Martha's communication. Jesus, don't you care? Tell my sister to help me. I think if we're honest, that would sum up most of our prayers. Lord, where are you? Don't you care about my situation? And Lord, tell them, change them. They need to be different. Isn't it amazing that instead of being in His presence and letting God speak to us, that we spend so much of our time telling God what to do for us? I tell you what, folks, in a quality relationship of quality time, it's as much about listening as it is about talking. When's the last time that you were found in the presence of God? When's the last time you heard His voice speak into your spirit? When's the last time that you fasted until you got a breakthrough? When you just slowed down enough because of the busyness of life to encounter God, that you read a good devotional book, that you put on worship music and were just captivated by the wonder of the love of God. When is the last time that instead of coming into His presence and telling God what to do for you, that you ask God, and it's not you ask God, but you listen to God as He spoke into your heart and into your spirit. One other thing that I noticed here in this scripture, this is what Martha said. Jesus, tell Mary to help me. Oh, you didn't get it. Jesus, tell Mary to help me. What? You're in the presence of Jesus, the miracle worker. You're in the presence of God, and you're not asking Him to help you. You're asking Him to tell your sister to help you. Oh, my friend, we miss it so much when He wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. When's the last time you asked God to be involved in the decisions you're making? That you listen to His voice before the voice of others? When is the last time you had quality time with God? And I really feel the challenge of that today, because from the story of Martha and Mary, we see two sisters that responded in two different ways. And my question is this: will you be a Mary or will you be a Martha? Remember, what Martha was doing wasn't wrong, but Mary chose the better thing. She was found at the feet of Jesus. My friend, you're listening to my voice and you're not in a relationship with Him. In fact, you actually maybe come to church and you're busy involved in the work of church life, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've never asked Christ to come into your heart. He's not your Lord. He's not your Savior. You know, you can be around Christians, but not be a Christian. You can be around church, but not belong to the household of faith. I would love to pray with you right now, because maybe in your life you've been distracted by many things. And maybe the enemy has got your attention on things because he doesn't want you to get your eyes on Jesus. But if today you want Christ to come into your heart, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you are my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all the things I've done wrong. Be my master and be my guide. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that, why don't you get it in the chat? I said yes. And someone is going to be in touch with you so that we can walk with you on this incredible journey of Christian living. My friend, Christian believer, quality time with God is God's love language. I believe and I pray and I hope that you've been challenged today. We need to spend time with Him.